The first section of Parshas Bereishis is Ma'aseh Bereishis. It's the story of creation, from the first through the seventh day, ending with Vayechulu. That's the first Aliyah in Parshas Bereishis. There's not much to talk about there, of course, but we'll try. What can we talk about in an hour about this huge sugya, this huge matter called Ma'aseh Bereishis? So what I would really like to do is speak about the view of creation from how it starts until its conclusion on the seventh day of Bereishis, and really how that to some degree is a reflection of Berea from its inception to its ultimate conclusion. So its ultimate conclusion, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when God will have seen the purpose of his Bria, the purpose of his creation, come to fulfillment. Let's start perhaps with a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos about Bereishis. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in the beginning of the fifth chapter of Pirkei Avos about Bereishis, says, Ba'asara ma'amorais nivra ha'olam. The beginning of the fifth chapter, the tenth statement, the world was created. Uma talmud leimer. Ba'alei b'ma'amor echad yachali baros. Wouldn't Hashem have been able to create the world with a single statement? Couldn't Hashem have said, let there be a world? Instead of saying, let there be light, let there be a sky, let there be this piece by piece, element by element. Why couldn't Hashem have just created a world, the world as a whole? The Ma'amar Echad Yachli Baros, if you could create something with a word, you probably could create a few things with a word. Elo, says the Mishnah, Lipora min harishayim shem abdinas olam shenivra basar ma'amaros, litein socher tov le tzadikim shem kaimenas olam shenivra basar ma'amaros. It's to punish the evil people who will destroy a world created with ten statements, and to reward the righteous who will uphold a world that's created with ten statements. Simply, a very enigmatic Mishnah at first glance. What does that mean? Simply put, what the Mishnah seems to be saying is, if I took 10 statements to make this world and he messes it up, I'm going to be really upset at him, much more upset than if I just did it in one statement. If I took 10 statements to make this world and he perfects the world and beautifies it, then I'm going to be much happier with him and much more appreciative of what he's done than if I just did casually with a single statement. That's the simple reading of the Mishnah. It's difficult to understand, because if you can create it with one, so then, why should it ever have value more than one? The way some commentaries ask on this Mishnah, they say, I'll just put it in contemporary form, and some of you, we've discussed it with some of you before, if I go into a store, I go into Staples, and I say, can I please buy a ballpoint pen? And they say, sure, here's a ballpoint pen, that'll be 29 cents. I say, no, I insist, $5. I want to pay you $5. Right? So after the first three cashiers faint, the fourth one takes my $5 bill, I walk out of the store with my ballpoint pen, I come someplace and somebody comes over to me and says, excuse me, I need to borrow a pen. Do you have a pen I can borrow? I say, sure, here, take this pen. And they borrow the pen and they don't give it back to me. And the next day I see them, I say, excuse me, you have a pen that you borrowed from me? I say, no. I can't believe it, I lost it, I'm sorry. Here, let me pay you. And they take out 29 cents. I say, I'm sorry, $5. Am I right? Do I claim for them $5? Just because I'm a meshuggah and I pay $5 for a 29-cent pen, that doesn't mean that it's worth $5. So Hashem could create the world with one statement, and he chose to create it with 10. That makes it a more valuable world or a less valuable world. Like, how does that work? That's what some ask. Maybe it's a earth-shattering question. Maybe one could say, well, you know, like another example would be, well, if I have a bag of tomatoes, might be worth $4, you know, but if I could have, and I could have gone to the supermarket and plunked down $4 and bought the bag of tomatoes, but if I bought tomato seeds for 40 cents and I planted them and I tilled and I worked and then finally I picked off a bag of tomatoes, to me those aren't $4 tomatoes. If I put 10 statements, if I put 10 stages into them, they're worth much more. So those are ways to read the Mishnah. But I want to tell you the way some read this Mishnah, and the way which is really what I want to discuss with you here today, which is like, they read it like this. You see, there's a difference between creating a world with one statement and a world with 10. Because the 10 statements which were used here are 10 statements that create really a progression. It's not, let there be the exit light, let there be the yahrzeit tablet, let there be the window, let there be the bench. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu just creating these things in that way. Hashem creates the world in a progression. In a progression which culminates, right, starts with the basics, with the earth, with the light. And it moves along and the earth gets developed and the seas get developed and the skies get developed. And then their inhabitants are ready to come in. And then it culminates in the creation of Adam, of man, who is told, I'm creating Adam and he will rule over the fish of the seas, the birds of the skies, the animals, the creatures, the earth itself. So it's a pyramid. And man is put at the top of the pyramid. Man is put as the tachlis, as the purpose for which everything else is created. In the metaphor which the Chazal themselves used, it's like he came into a world like someone comes into a banquet where everything is set up and ready. He found it kishulchan aruch lefanav, like a laid out beautiful table set out before him to be able to enjoy. When Hashem created the world with that kind of a progression, what he did was, with those temptations, he said, look, I'm not just creating a world of a bunch of things. I'm creating a world that ultimately comes together for one thing. If man is the ultimate creation into whom all of this is delivered, then it's not a world that's all over the place. If it's a world which is all over the place, and man does good, so man has done good for himself. If in the world there are lions and tigers, bears, goldfish, parakeets, people, and a human being does well, then a human being, you know, could say, and this is sometimes, by the way we view our place in the world. Hashem put us in, we're supposed to be all we can be, get the most we can, and we'll get a nice portion in the world to come. Box seats. People don't like to talk so much about box seats once they're in the other world, but we won't talk about that. But the in the world to come, great seat. So in the world to come, that's what we think of. But says Mishnah, no, it's not that. It's not that you're going there for yourself. You see, the world was all created for the human being. And that means that when the human being is what he's supposed to be or what she's supposed to be, then that means that everything else is worthwhile. Everything else makes sense. Everything else is justified. If you make this huge banquet because the president is coming and then his schedule doesn't allow it and he doesn't show up, you say, what did I make all this for? Right? It didn't end up happening. I was hoping he would stop by, but he didn't. But if he comes and he enjoys it, then everything fit. Everything made sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, and as the ultimate position of creation, he put Adam. Not just at the end, but as the purpose of the climax. And therefore, his self-realization, his doing what Adam was supposed to be, makes everything else make sense. That's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So when the righteous person is what he's supposed to be, he's not just good for himself, he's not just gaining for himself a nice place in the world to come. He's upholding the whole world. He's making the whole world make sense around him. It's the opposite. Then it's not just that he isn't or she isn't getting a good portion, but she's making the world not have its meaning. Why do I start with this? Because what I would like to really present to you and show to you here in this process of the Shivas Yimei Bereishis is that what we are really doing here, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really doing, is starting with the creation of a bunch of separate things and ultimately trying to bring them together. They come together, yes, they come together in Adam, in man, that's one that we've talked about. And they come together also in the seventh day of creation, in Shabbos. And ultimately, this little snapshot of the 7 days of Bereishis is really a micro version of the way we're supposed to see the whole entirety of the world of creation, not just of quote-unquote the creation, but of creation as a whole. That it's a bunch of different pieces, ultimately geared towards coming together to become one. What do I mean? You know, the Ramban says, there's a nice debate about the 7 days of creation. Really days, were they days, weren't they days? 24-hour periods, how does it work? Evening, morning, before there was a sun and a moon. Had all kinds of interesting, fascinating questions. Some explored in the scientific versus Torah, you know, debates and so on and so forth. The Ramban, although he does say some words to address this, but the Ramban adds another dimension. And he says that in the 7 days of creation, we're supposed to see not just those 7 days at the beginning of creation, but we're supposed to see the millennia of history. In other words, we know, we have a tradition that the world, as we know it, exists for Shisa Alfei Shone, 6,000 years, divided into two millennia segments. 2,000 years of emptiness till Avraham Avinu really emerged. 2,000 years from Avraham Avinu, called the 2,000 years of Torah, right, really till the time of the Talmud, of the Gemara, and then 2,000 years, which are the period of potentially Yemos HaMashiach. And then there's a seventh millennium, a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, Rishabbos. So each one, and the Ramban traces a little bit, connects how the millennia that are supposed to follow this, follow to some degree the pattern that was established in each of those days of creation. But we're supposed to see it as something bigger, and we're supposed to see it as something which ultimately, in that sense, comes together. So I think I'm speaking to you a little bit generally. I want to go from the general to the specific. I want to assure you that Be'ezrat Hashem, if you have no idea what I'm talking about, Bereishis is a parsha. Which, right, Masa Bereishis is a parsha, which is, I mean, again, there's basics in Masa Bereishis to learn. Conceptually, it is the most elusive. The Ramban, when he explains the first question of Rashi, why does the Torah start with Bereishis? He says, what? It's not going to tell us that God created the world. Of course we have to know that God created the world. He says, yeah, we need to know that God created the world. But once you get past that basic thing that God created the world, the details are so deep and they're so complicated. Why is it even starting? Why is it even starting? That's why the Ramban understands the question. Right? So this is, right, when we talk about Noach, we talk about Lech Lecha, we'll have more feet on the ground. Okay? But today, I want to really talk to you about this. Not, I don't mean to be esoteric, I don't mean to be beyond, but I want to talk to you about what this big picture of Bria is. And the thoughts sometimes might sound a little bit esoteric, but I think, I hope you'll see, that they come home to something which is very, very real, very practical in our life and in how we set the goals for our life and, you know, in the world in general. With that apology, I want to tell you about another esoteric concept. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam she'hakol nehiyah bidvarei. In mystical writings, there are two terms which are used all the time. They're used also in practical discussions of people who don't even know what the word mystical means. The words in mystical terms are called Chomer and Tzura. Chomer is matter, and Tzura is form. Everything is composed of matter and form. In practical terms, of course, we speak of exactly the same thing. You go to the hardware place, you go to Home Depot, you get yourself wood, that's your chomer, that's your raw matter. Then you go and you saw it, and you sand it, and you shape it, and you build a sukkah, right? Now the chomer, now the wood has been given, the raw material has been given form. You go and you get yourself a ball of Play-Doh. The ball of Play-Doh is chomer. It's a shapeless mass of raw material. You go and you shape it. Maybe use a form, a mold. Maybe you just do it with your fingers. You make it into a rose. Now the matter has tzura. Now it has a shape. It has a direction. Chomer, matter, and tzura, form. Bereshis bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz. Va'aretz haisa sohu vavohu. In the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth. But the earth was tohu vavohu. How do you translate tohu vavohu? I don't know, you know, like in the first grade they usually translate it emptiness or nothingness, something like that. The world was just one undefined mass. Translates the Ramban. What does it mean in the beginning Hashem created the heavens and the earth? He created the raw matter. He created the chomer, the basic matter, which would be there, from which the earth and the heavens would be developed. But at that point, it was just raw matter. It was so. One would look at it, and one wouldn't know what they saw. You just see the raw matter. It has no form. It has no shape. It's nothing. It's like seeing a blob. You know, in our world, when we see a ball of clay, though, so we're already seeing it somewhat like a formed thing. But imagine just like raw materials without any direction to them whatsoever. That's tohu. Ramban understands vohu is when they already began to at least have some sort of beginnings of a shape. But the first act of creation is to create chomer, just to create the raw material. The next stages in the process is taking that raw matter and molding it into something. The Ramban himself attaches different terms to those stages. There's a term Bria, which is referring to the creation of matter. Yetzirah is already forming it into something. Asiya would be that if you take that ball of clay and you formed it into a bowl, let's say, that would be Yetzirah. But then you'd go to the place in Mount Washington, you'd put it in the kiln there, right, at the glaze plate, right? And there, now, it's going to be shiny and hard. And now it's Asiya. Now it's finished. Bria, Yetzirah, Asiya. Form, create the matter, take the matter, form it into a shape, Asiya, finished. That's what we have. Now the thing, if we're going to go now from just, that's a very practical description, the idea when we speak about a mystical idea of Chaimer and Tzura, when we speak even about a conceptual notion of it, what Tzura does, the idea of giving something form, you talk about giving, making a table, you have a bunch of pieces of wood. What are they? I don't know. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with that. I come back 3 hours later, and the carpenter has taken these pieces of wood, and he's fashioned them into a beautiful table. Now, they're not a bunch of pieces of wood. You don't see, oh, there's a piece of wood there holding up that end of the table. And there's a piece of wood there holding up that end of the table. That's not the way you see it. It's a table. It's a single table. The form, the structure, the purpose that you have taken all of these things and put them towards has unified them. Chomer is by nature just a bunch of separate pieces. Tzura is what brings it together. Direction brings it together. Now we know that that works on so many different levels. If you have 10 employees and they're working for a company, right? And there really is, you know, there's no real leader there in the group. Just, you know, 10 people. And everybody's doing it. They're working their own thing. So what happens? Like they're all over the place. If there's no sense of unity, there's no cohesion in the direction of what's going on. But then you'll have, someone will emerge, and there'll be a leadership personality in this group. Maybe they'll be the boss, maybe they'll be the manager, maybe they'll just be one of the people. But they just somehow set the tone and direction. And then suddenly, instead of it being 10 different people doing their thing, now suddenly it becomes a unit, a team that works together. That's going from separate pieces to unified. And sometimes, again, it's a physical transformation, like a carpenter taking wood and putting it into a table. And sometimes it's a conceptual direction, like maybe this leadership example. that we just spoke of. Bereshis, that original creation, the beginning of creation, Chazal say it starts with the letter Beis. I don't need Chazal to tell you that. Chazal spoke about why it started with the letter Beis. Bereshis, the Torah starts with the letter Beis. So the Medrash, there are different Medrashim about it. Why does it start with the letter Beis? Usually you would imagine the place to start would be with an Aleph. Chazal speak about it. They speak about it in a positive sense, that Beis stands for bracha. It stands for blessing. We wanted to start the world with bracha, with blessing. Bracha, interesting, you know what the Beirach, that word, the root of the word bracha, is all twos. Beis is two, Reish is 200, Chaf is 20. 222. It's all multiples. Bracha is to grow, to have more than one. You know what starts with the letter Aleph? Is the opposite of bracha, is Arur, the word for curse. Starts with an Aleph, because it somehow, it shrinks it down. In a certain sense, right, bracha is expansion, and curse is contraction. But you know, it's an interesting thing. What does start with an Aleph? Yes, Teres HaDibros start with an Aleph, excellent. When Hashem appeared to the Jewish people and started to give us the mitzvahs, so what did he begin with? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem your God. He started with an Aleph. The Medrash says, the way the Medrash depicts it is that the Aleph waited 26 generations from creation until the Torah was given for it to have its day. And then finally came out and the Torah says, okay, Aleph, I'll start with you. Now, Aseret HaDibros, Matan Torah, was not a curse. It was the biggest blessing that ever came on the face of the earth. So there are two sides to this. Because bringing it to one can be sometimes, in certain cases, can be a reduction. You know, if you start off with $20 million and you go down to $15 million and you end up with Nevuch $1 million, that's Arur. You know, that's shrinking down to one. But there's another side of Echad, which is very positive, which is where you take the many and you bring them together into one. See, Bereshis, which was the creation of the physical matter of the world, was creating the many. It's creating Chomer. It's creating physicality. Physicality which by nature is all over the place. When Hashem revealed himself in the world at Har Sinai, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he said, I am the unifying factor in all of this world. Every bit of it comes back to me, to the Creator, to that which is, upon which it is dependent. And every bit of it is supposed to be directed ultimately towards the Aleph, towards the Anochi. Towards Hashem. You know, when we daven on Shabbos, we have something unique. Of all the tefillos of a whole year, and we have a lot of different tefillos. We have our daily tefillos. We have Yontif tefillos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Every day of the year, besides for 52 days of the year, right, or less if Yontif comes out on Shabbos, but every tefillah, except the tefillos of Shabbos, is the same in the evening, in the morning, and in the afternoon. We daven the same Shemana Esrei for Mariv, for Shachris, for Mincha. Okay, we say Shalom Rav instead of Sim Shalom. Fundamentally, it's the same Shemana Esrei, Mariv, Shabbos, Mincha. Rosh Hashanah, you say the same Shemana Esrei, Mariv, Shabbos, Mincha. Yeah, Musaf is different. Musaf is its own thing. But you say the same Shemana Esrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. You always say the same thing, Mariv, Shabbos, Mincha. Shabbos is the exception. Shabbos, we have a different Amida for Mariv, a different one for Shachris, a different one for Mincha. And it's written already in the Torah that it symbolizes that those, and it's really what it says in the Siddur, but he just speaks of what it says in the Siddur, that each one corresponds to one of the three critical Shabbosos of all time. There was the original Shabbos, Bereshit. Friday night when we daven, we speak about that Shabbos. We say, you sanctified Atakidashta Siema Shvili Shmecha, Tachlis Maaseh Shamayim V'Aretz. You sanctify the Shabbos for your sake as the purpose, as the end point, the Tachlis of the creation of heaven and earth. You finished your work on the seventh day. You rested on it, as it says. And we go on and we say, Vayichulu HaShamayim V'Aretz. We read the story of the seventh day of creation in the Shemoneh Esrei. That's the original Shabbos. That's Friday night. Shabbos morning, we speak about, so to speak, the middle Shabbos. The Shabbos on which the Torah was given. Everyone agrees in the Gemara. There's questions in the Gemara about exactly the date that the Torah was given on, but there's no debate in the Gemara about the day that the Torah was given on. The Torah was given on Shabbos. And on Shabbos morning, we say, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chalkol. Moshe rejoices with his gift because you called him a faithful servant. You gave him the luchos, and in the luchos it was written, B'shomu b'nei Yisrael v'chashabbos. That the Jewish people observe the Shabbos. Okay, there we have it. The second Shabbos. The Shabbos is the giving of the Torah. And then, at Mincha, we read about the third Shabbos. And that's the Shabbos of the end of days. Harachmoni anchilenu liyom shekula Shabbos. The Shabbos of the days of Moshiach. And what do we say there? How does that davening come? Ato echod. V'shimcha echod. You are one, and your name is one. Umika amcha Yisrael goyachad v'aretz. And who is like your people, Yisrael, your people Israel, a one, a unified, a single nation in the land? When we say, on that day of the day of Moshiach, he will be one, his name will be one. That idea of he will be one and his name will be one, as we spoke a little bit before Rosh Hashanah, when we were speaking about Kriya Shema, is where in fact, at the time of Moshiach, it all comes together. It all comes together. From a disparate world, from a world where you see different things happening, different directions being taken, a divergence between what seems to be bad things and good things, all kinds of nations going off in all kinds of directions. That's the time when somehow everything is supposed to come together. The goal of Bria, the fact of creation, was the creation of disparate and separate things. The goal of creation is to bring it all together. At the end of time, and in the interim, through man, and to some degree, through Shabbos. Let's take a look. A little bit more at some verses. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is everybody okay? Anybody want to ask something or anything? Okay. Listen to how the verse, as we get to the end of Bria, to the sixth day. Yeah.
How could man wasn't created on the seventh
day? Good question. How come man wasn't created on the seventh day? So, I'll tell you, I have a theory that he was supposed to be created on the seventh day. But Hashem doesn't create on the seventh day. You know, it says, Rashi brings, when it says, Vayivorech Vayikadesh, that the whole way things work is that there's work which needs to be done for 7 days. If there's 7 days, then work has to be done for 7 days. But Shabbos says that what needs to happen on the seventh day, you have to double up and do before. So the mun would fall for 7 days, but on Shabbos, it fell for 2 days. On Friday, you cook for Friday, if you eat on Friday, and you cook for Shabbos. So if you do everything you have to do for 2 days, everything has to be done, you double up before. If you look at the sixth day of creation, on the sixth day of creation, Hashem created the animals, all the animals of the world, and He said it was good. And then He went on and created Adam. To some degree, I think Adam is a creature of the seventh day. But he was the work of the seventh day that Hashem front-loaded, so to speak, onto the sixth day, and did it then. He is, in a sense, however, the same, because let's look at how it describes it. Throughout creation, Hashem created things, and He saw that it was good. Vayomer Elokim, and then Hashem said, Nasa Adam will make man b'tzalmeinu k'musein, when our image and our form, the Yerdu, and He will rule. B'tgas hayam u'gov hashamayim, over the fish of the seas, the birds of the skies, v'behem of the animals, v'chol ha'aretz, and all over the earth, of all of the earth. And everything that crawls on the face of the earth. Vayivra Elohim asadam etzalmein, and He created him. in the image of God, and he blessed him, and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, conquer it, urdu v'gaz hayom uvayf ha-shamayim, uchol chayar emeses al-oretz, and they'll rule over the fish, and so on. And Hashem said, v'yom elokim, hinei nosati lochem, behold, I've given you, eskoleisiv zorei azer ha-shef ne'al-oretz, I've given you all the grasses, I've given you all the trees that have fruits to eat, and to the animals I've given what they have to eat, v'yichein, and so it was. This, by the way, is understood to be the 10th statement of creation. The 9th statement of creation was the creation of man. The 10th statement was how man was to use the world. In other words, putting it all together for man. And then look what it says. Vayar Elohim eskol asher asa. And Hashem saw all that he had made. Vinei tov mo'od. And behold, it was very good. Vayar vayivoker yom hashishi. So, there are at least two significant nuances in this last phrase, last verse. One is that it doesn't say it was good. It says it was tov ma'od. It says it was very good. That's usually the way we translate ma'od. It's very good. So that's one thing which is unique here. The other thing which is unique here is that man was created really a couple of verses ago. And it could have said after he created man, and Hashem saw that it was good. But it doesn't. He holds the comment. Waits till we finish with this, and man will eat this and that, and he says, and he saw everything which he had made. And behold, it was very good. This is not a comment on man alone. This is a comment on everything together. Es kol asher asav hinei tov ma'od. Obviously, what God is beholding here is not just man by himself. And perhaps he delays it, and this is what Rav Huttner argues, he delays it because you can't really talk about looking at man by himself. When it comes to man as a bria, man as a creature, we don't just look at man and say, oh man, man's a good thing. Because when man is created, it's not like when he created the birds, and he says, like, birds are going to be there flying in the sky. Fish, they're going to be swimming in the sea. When he created man, he said, I'm a great man, and man is going to have all of the world as his. So there is no looking at man without looking at the totality of creation. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu observed man, he couldn't observe him outside of Kol Asher Asav, everything which he did. Man is Tzuras HaBriah. He is the form of creation. He is like the carpenter that takes this piece of wood and that piece of wood and this screw and this brace, and suddenly it's a table. Man takes the plants and the animals and this land and that place and so on, and suddenly it's a world with a direction and a purpose. Now you would say, okay, so that's enough to say Tov Ma'od. If I'm looking at one little component, I could say Tov, it's good. When I look at this whole thing, I say Tov Ma'od, real good, right? Very good. But listen to the Ramban. There's a fascinating medrash that the Ramban quotes here. It's like one of these medrashim that's a real, whoa, but all the Rishonim quote it. In the Torah of Rabbi Meir, it says in the Medrash, okay, this is not necessarily to be taken literally, but if you took, I take out his Torah scroll, that you'd find this written in there. But in the Torah of Rabbi Meir, it says, V'inei tov ma'od, it actually said, V'inei tov mavis. And behold, it was good death. In other versions, it says, V'inei tov ma'od, and it was very good, tov is good, tov ma'od, very good, death. What does that mean? What does that mean? So some say, the Rambam says, in a strictly, you know, philosophical way, you know, the world needs things to disappear in order for them to be replaced. You know, you go, I remember I was very taken by this when I went once to one of those magnificent national parks out west, right? And you, whenever you hear about fires and forests out west, like it's like, oh my gosh, terrible, dreadful thing. But then you see, and they explain to you, that they burn forests. Right? Because if everything just stays there, the forest doesn't grow well. They need to have controlled burns. They do them as controlled burns, but they're naturally, lightning storms come. They light that, starts a fire, some trees burn down, it's good, it makes some clearing, it creates certain, in their being burnt, it creates certain things which go and nurture the rest of the forest. It's an amazing thing. Right? The death of those trees, the fire, is not a disaster. It's a good thing. And we just finished reading Kehelet on Sukkot. Read about the way the world works. You know, they come, they go, they come, they go. It's not all just a negative. It's part of the way the world needs to go forward. So that's the philosophical way to look at it. The Ramban, however, translates it differently. And he says, Ma'od, you know, Ma'od, what does it mean? It means very good, right? That's what he says. So Ma'od means very good. Very can mean, you know, it's not just good, it's super good, fantastic, it's terrific. But ma'od, like the term of very, can also mean, as the Ramban understands it, more like mostly. He looked at the world, and it was good because it was mostly good. I want to read to you a little bit, a couple lines Ramban doesn't write about Barichos. Doesn't write at length here, but what does he say? Behosif bayom hazeh lomar kein bavur sheyidaber bichlal, because the verse is speaking about the whole. V'yimotzei rabik tzas, you will find bad things in creation. In parts of it, there are elements which are not so great, not so experienced by themselves as positive and pleasant. But ki tov ma'od, ma'od el tov. Tov ma'od means that on the whole, it is very good. Taken together, it is very good. There are pieces that by themselves may be negative, noxious, not good things. But when you have them in the totality of the Bria, you've now made them good. And that's really the Adam, or anything which is going to give the structure, the direction, that's their biggest task, is to take all the spare parts, even those which by themselves would not seem to have the positive redeeming value, and yet make them part of something good and with a good direction. Which brings us to Shabbos. The next verse is about that other piece that brings the world together. Adam is the human being that unites the spiritual with the physical into this world, and Shabbos, of course, is that creation of a day which is the spiritual with the physical. The day of Neshama Yisera, of an extra spiritual dimension in the world. And look at the words of Shabbos, okay? When you look at these words, I think, if you'll remember it, your Friday night Kiddush will never be the same, okay? How's that for advanced advertising? Vayechulu hashamayim v'aretz v'chol tzeva'am. What does it mean, vayechulu? How do you translate it? Vayechulu is when they finished. The heavens and the earth and all their tzeva'am, they were all finished. But it comes from the term kol, all, was completed. It came together. Vayechal elokim vayom hashvim elachtav asher asah. And God finished on the seventh day. Again, Vayichal is kol. It all came together on the seventh day, that which he did. And he rested. Mikol melachto asher asa. Kivosharas mikol melachto asher. Why does he keep saying that? Why does he say, Kivosharas mi melachto, from his work, from his work. Mikol melachto, from all of his work. But that kol of Vayichul is the same kol of the last verse on the sixth day, where it says, "And Hashem saw kol asher asa." It was in the totality of it that it was magnificent. Shabbos is about taking the 6 days of the week and bringing them together. Shabbos is about purpose. It's about taking the 6 days of the week and bringing them together. Right? The simplest muscle, the simplest metaphor, is that the world is composed of like 6 days, composed of six dimensions. Maral explains this all over the place, but simple thing. Right, here we are in a room, right? We're in a room. We have a wall over here. We have a wall over there. We have a wall over there. We have a wall over there, right? Length, width, two poles on each side. We have a ceiling up there. We have a floor down here. Three dimensions with six poles. That's the way everything is in the physical world. Sometimes they're square, sometimes they're round. That's the things that we have in the world. Okay, so we have here a fantastic room, beautiful, nice carpet, nice ceiling fixtures, nice wallpaper, nice, I don't know, whatever it is, beautiful. Wow, see that? Gorgeous, right? Everything here together. And what do you say? That's what it is? This room would be nothing. 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 It's not for what happens inside it. Oh, it's beautiful setting. But if it's empty, right? You ever go travel someplace, you know, where they have a beautiful, beautiful synagogue with those velvet ropes, you know, that nobody ever uses it. So you look at it, you say, it's a nice tragedy. It's a very pretty tragedy. It's a very pretty history. Beautiful, beautiful room, but has nothing in it. That what's inside it is what justifies it. The world has six dimensions. The seventh is the essence. And it's what brings it all together. What makes its entire purpose. On the first day of the week, you go off in that direction. On the second day, you go off in that direction. On the third day, you go off in that direction. The fourth day, that direction. The fifth day, that direction. The sixth day, that direction. And the seventh day, you stand in the middle and you say, now I understand what I did on all the other 6 days. It was all for this. Vayechulu. Vayechal. Shabbos is not a day of rest. Not in the sense of, I am so exhausted, if Shabbos didn't come, I don't know what I would do. I am going to sleep the bagel. Or the bagel with cream cheese, which is the latest, right? You know, like more than 12 hours, right? I'm going to be, set new records, right? Shabbos is not the day of rest. Yeah, of course we're supposed to rest on Shabbos. We're supposed to rest on Shabbos because instead of running off in all directions, we've arrived. We're at the center. You know, I'm sorry, this is late for Sukkot. That's what we do on Sukkot with the lulav. What do you do with the lulav? You shake the lulav in six directions. Right? And each time, what are you supposed to do? You shake it forward, you bring it back. Shake it here, bring it back. Shake it there, always to the lathe. You're always supposed to bring it back to your heart. Every time, up, down like that. That's the thing. The sense is supposed to bring it all together. Bring it all together into one. That's Bria. You read Sheshes Yimei Bereshis. She creates this on the first day, creates that on the second day, that on the third day, that on the fourth day. Such an elaborate, full creation. But it's all Beis. It's all this and that and the other. And the end of it is Kol, where it becomes one whole thing. Adam brings it together, Kol Asher Asa. Man is supposed to bring it all together, be its direction, its purpose. Shabbos is supposed to bring it all together, its direction, its purpose. Lo Asid Lavai, the ultimate goal is to bring it all together. Ata Echad, Eshincha Echad. When our lives are all over the place, we ask ourselves the question, so what's it all for? And when you have an answer, when you have a unifying direction for what it's all for, then your life isn't all over the place anymore. Then it's like, oh, that's not just a piece of wood over there. That's the leg of the table. And that's the brace of the table. It's not just a piece of metal. It's all part of one whole. And that's the goal of Bria, to make it from the Bereshis, the Beis of Bereshis, to the Aleph of Anochi. And that makes a lot of things, so to speak, make sense. When we sing the song of Shabbos, what do we say? Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. A song, for the day of Shabbos. What are we saying there about Shabbos? After that, you don't say anything about Shabbos. You say, it's good to give thanks to Hashem to give praise, to speak of his kindness in the evening, and his faith in the evening, and his kindness in the morning. Like the Baruch of Ali Osir, Ali Novel, you can use this instrument, that instrument. Hashem, you made me happy with this. Hashem, how great are Masecha. How deep are Machshavosecha. How great are your actions. How deep are your thoughts. When the Rishoyim, when the evil, when they sprout forth like the grass, right, that they'll be destroyed. The tzaddik blossoms like a palm tree. No. It's not about Shabbos. It's not about Shabbos. But in the greatest sense, it is about Shabbos. Because what it's noting there is that in the world there are a lot of negative things. There are evil people that prosper, that grow, that flourish like the grass so easily. But when you look at it by itself, you say that's bad. But now, you see that in the end, when it all comes together, that's the song of Shabbos. When it all comes together, the tzaddik will flourish, the rasha will wither. The rasha by itself, sometimes what happens to the rasha, taken by itself in a frozen frame of time, is not good. But vayara elokim es kol asher asa, when you see it all together, it's very good. Oh, look at every piece by itself, not. But put together the whole thing, and it's very good. And that's the Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. The Briska Rav wrote in his few comments, which he wrote on the Chumash, he said, that's the idea, you know. He says, what's Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos? What does that have to do with Shabbos? He says, it's the idea. It's the end of creation. You know, normally, you pick up a cookie, you say, Barim Inim Mizaymas. Right? You pick up a potato chip. You say, Bayer Pri Adama. You pick up a potato. You say, Bayer Pri Adama. Right? You take a drink of tea. Right? You make a bracha on this thing. What happens on Shabbos? He says, that's like Hashem. He created the birds. They're good. He created the light. That's good. What happened on Shabbos? Hashem said, Bayer Ha'ayla. You look at the whole world. Don't look at the cookies and the potato chips at the sunrise. Look at the whole world. And it's the Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos about the whole world. About everything together. Vayichal. Vayichulu. When you say Kiddush Friday night, recognize, right, that right before Vayir Vayivaker Yom HaShishi, some even say this pasuk because they don't want to say half a pasuk. It's so fitting. Vayir Elokim Eskosher Osa B'nei Pei Me'ay Vayir Vayivaker Yom HaShishi. Hashem saw everything that he made. At the end of the sixth day, wow, it's all together. Shabbos is, the true Einik Shabbos is, seeing that it's all together. Is the unifying purpose, the form, the structure that brings all the disparate pieces of creation together. And Rav Fuchs pointed out something that's so, so insightful. Ma, okay, fill in the blanks. Ma, blank, Ma'asech LaHashem. What? I didn't hear. Moravu Ma'asech LaHashem. Anybody else? Ma Godlu Ma'asech LaHashem. They're two. They're both correct answers. Moravu Ma'asech LaHashem is a phrase in Baruch Hinashi, which we say in Rosh Chodesh Tilim Kuv Dalet, which is about the creation. Piece by piece of creation. We use that phrase, Merabu Ma'asech Hashem, every day in Birchas Kriya Shema, in the bracha we make about the creation, the bracha of Yetzer Aruv Erech Hashem. Right, so what do we say? We say, I hope this is a Shabbos sitter, but maybe they have it on the wrong side. Yeah. Merabu Ma'asech Hashem Kula Mechach Ma'afis Amoret Kinenach, which is a pasuk from there. That's what we say on the weekdays. How many and great are your creations, Hashem? Magodlu Ma'asecha Hashem. The same phrase, the substitute Rabu Gadlu, comes from the Psalm of Shabbos. Magodlu Ma'asecha Hashem. What's the difference between Rabu and Gadlu? Rabu is many. How many? Gadlu is how big. Great. one, but it's great. When you're looking at creation, during the process of creation, you're saying, wow, created this, fantastic, that, unbelievable, this, stupendous, this, terrific, all the different things, wow. When you come to Shabbos, there's not many things. There's one magnificent creation. Now you're looking at the table. Not the wood, not the metal, not the screws, not the this, not the that. God. That's the uniqueness of the Son of Shabbos. Taking the many and bringing them into one. Vayechul. Vayechul. Vayechal. And it became kol. It became all together. To bring it all together. So you learn Bereishis. You learn the stories of Bereishis. The elements of Maaseh Bereishis. But see it as that. As Chaimer. The creation of matter. The creation of something which by nature is bathed. Some of this, some of that. But it all moves towards the Adam, the person who will make the whole world when he does what he's supposed to do. And heaven really will break it when he does what he's not supposed to. It's not just himself. The whole world is him. He's supposed to give it its direction. He's supposed to bring it together. That's the person. And Shabbos is the time. The idea of their bringing it together. To make the many into one. Hashem was one. Hashem is one. Hashem Echad. He was the only thing that existed. Then he created a world. Now, there were other things. There was more than one. And the goal is to get it back to be one. Not by nuclear arms. Not by causing the world to disappear. But no. But by directing it. By bringing it back all towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Atzeichu v'shimcha echad. We as human beings who were given the peace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu within us. We as human beings, B'nai Yisrael, who were granted the gift of Shabbos, which is the bris, the connection, the covenant between Hashem and people, and our people, we have the koach, we are given the power and trusted with the power to bring it together into one, to bring it back towards the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to make the many into one, many of Bria into the one of Anochi Hashem Elokeinu. Be able to do it and bring cohesion. You understand? You understand the practicality of this esoteric talk? You understand what I mean when I say that? You know, it's like Chaimer, it's, but you understand? It's real life. It's real life when our week is all over the place and so many elements of our life take us all over the place. But it's really, there's something to making it into one, to bring it together. It's very real. And it brings real menucha. We should all merit to have it.